Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're taking a deep dive into something that, well, let's be honest, it can be pretty messy. Reconciliation after infidelity.
Definitely a topic with a lot of layers to unpack.
Right. And we're going to try to do that using an article called Common Mistakes Couples Make After Infidelity. But this deep dive, I think it goes beyond just like how to avoid those mistakes.
I agree.
It's about how do couples actually get through something this intense and maybe even come out stronger? It's a fascinating look at human behavior, resilience, all of that. So I'm really curious to see where this deep dive takes us.
Me too.
Starting off, we know infidelity can just wreck things, right? Like trust is shattered. There's so much pain. The article really emphasizes that emotional fallout, which makes sense. Gotta start there.
Totally. But I think even more interesting is, why does infidelity happen in the first place? Like, it's not usually some spur of the moment thing.
Right. It's got to be deeper than that.
It's often a sign of things that have been going wrong in the relationship for a while, maybe years even. Things like maybe someone's needs aren't being met or there's not enough emotional connection.
So it's kind of like the infidelity is the earthquake, the big visible damage. But the real problem is the fault lines underneath that caused it, right?
Such a great way to put it. And just like ignoring those cracks in the earth can lead to more quakes, ignoring those underlying relationship problems, well, that sets the stage for more betrayals down the line.
Okay, so figuring out those fault lines is key. But then what? Let's talk about those common mistakes the article mentions when couples are trying to put things back together. Rushing that process seems to be a big one.
Yeah, and I get why couples would want to rush. It hurts so much, they just want things to be normal again.
Like, just get past it already.
But trying to pretend everything's fine without dealing with those deeper problems, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a huge wound. Doesn't really fix anything.
So tempting as it is to just cover things up, you're saying real healing means digging into that mess no matter how much it sucks.
Exactly. And that's where good communication comes in. The article really stresses this, and in my own work, I seek out communication problems are often there even before the infidelity. Then afterwards, those same bad patterns, if they don't change, they can make reconciliation almost impossible.
So what do those communication breakdowns actually look like? I mean, obviously there's going to be hurt, anger, but what are some specific patterns you see?
One is that blame game. Couples get stuck in this loop of accusing each other, defending themselves, which means they never actually understand each other's side or take responsibility for their own part in it.
And that probably just shuts down any chance of a real productive conversation.
Exactly. Another one I see a lot is avoidance. One or both partners just pull away emotionally, shut down so they don't have to fight. But that silence, it can be just as bad as yelling, because it stops them from working through those tough emotions and rebuilding trust.
It's almost like they're speaking different languages then, even if they're using the same words.
That's a great way to put it. And that's where getting professional help can be so valuable. A good therapist, they're like a translator, helping couples understand those unspoken emotions and learn to actually communicate in a way that helps instead of hurting more.
So therapy becomes that safe space where they can unpack all that baggage and learn to speak each other's language again, basically. But I'm curious, what about couples who maybe they're not ready for therapy or don't have access to it? What can they do to start communicating better?
That's a great question. Even without formal therapy, one thing couples can try is active listening. It means really focusing on what your partner is saying, trying to get their perspective without judging them, and then reflecting back what you heard so you know you're both on the same page.
Sounds simple, but I bet when you're in the middle of all those emotions, active listening is hard. Any tips for how couples can actually do it?
One technique I suggest is take turns talking and listening. Set a timer, just a few minutes, and one person shares their thoughts, feelings, no interruptions. The other person just listens and then reflects back what they heard. Then they switch roles.
So it's like creating a structure to make the communication focused, intentional, instead of letting it all explode.
Exactly. It's about slowing down, making a space where both people feel heard and understood.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've talked about not rushing things and about communicating well, especially that active listening piece. But now I kind of want to shift gears and look at some couples who actually got through this, you know? The success stories.
Always inspiring to hear about.
The article mentions some pretty high-profile ones. The Clintons, the Beckhams, even the Obamas. All couples who had to deal with infidelity very publicly, but they stayed together. They seem to have made it work.
Yeah, and it's amazing their situations were all so different. But when you look closely, there are some interesting things they have in common.
Okay, I'm all ears. What are those things, and what can we learn from couples who not only survived this, but seem to be doing well now?
One big one is they all got professional help. They didn't try to figure it out alone. They got therapists, counselors, to help them navigate all the complicated stuff.
Makes sense, especially after all that we just talked about with communication. Having someone neutral there to help with those tough conversations, that's got to be huge. What else?
Another thing is they were all willing to publicly admit they messed up.
Mm.
Both partners, in their own way, said, hey, I made mistakes, I hurt people.
And I bet even though that was probably really hard to do publicly, it helped rebuild some trust and honesty in their relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It showed they were both committed to taking responsibility and finding a solution together. But maybe the most important thing they all shared was they were in it for the long haul. They didn't expect a quick fix. They were ready to put in the work day after day to rebuild trust and heal.
So it's more than just saying the right words or doing a couple therapy sessions. It's about showing up every day, ready to do the hard stuff, even when it sucks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's crucial for anyone listening who's going through something similar. Reconciliation, it's rarely a straight line. There'll be setbacks, arguments, times when you just want to give up.
Yeah.
The key is to keep coming back to each other, choosing to work through it.
It's like climbing a mountain, right? You're going to hit obstacles, slippery slopes, but if you keep going one step at a time, you'll reach the top eventually.
I love that analogy. And important thing is, the top of that mountain might look different for each couple. There's no one definition of success here. For some, it means staying together and building a stronger relationship. For others, it means splitting up, but doing it in a way where they understand each other and get closure.
So it's about defining success for yourselves based on what's truly good for both people and the relationship, not what other people think should happen.
Exactly. And that's why figuring out what each person needs and wants, that's so crucial in this whole process. It's not just about fixing the relationship. It's about each person healing and growing too.
This brings up something the article mentions, dealing with those individual issues, not just the relationship stuff.
Yeah, that's huge EE.
Yeah.
Because when people have their own issues they haven't dealt with, like low self-esteem, past trauma, or even just not knowing themselves very well,
It
can mess up even the best intentions to reconcile. It can show up as getting defensive, feeling insecure, or just not being able to trust, even when your partner's trying really hard to earn that trust back.
It's like trying to build a house on a foundation that's all shaky. No matter how pretty the house is, if that base is weak, the whole thing's going to collapse.
You said it perfectly. Dealing with those individual issues, it's not about blaming each other. It's about realizing that both people bring their own baggage, their own history, into the relationship. And healing that baggage, whether it's through therapy, self-reflection, whatever works for them, that creates a solid base for a healthy, lasting relationship.
You know, hearing you talk about all this, it makes me wonder if there are certain types of individual issues that pop up more often after infidelity.
That's a really good question. And yeah, in my experience, there are some common themes. For the person who was cheated on, feelings of being worthless, insecure, like their whole sense of self is shattered. That's really common. It's like their world got turned upside down, and now they don't even know who they are anymore or what to believe about their relationship.
It's almost a loss of identity, right? Like, if the person I trusted most could do this, then who even am I?
Exactly. And rebuilding that sense of self, remembering their own worth outside of the relationship, that's a huge part of healing for them.
What about the person who did the cheating? What kind of individual issues do they usually deal with?
Well, got to remember, there's no one type of person who cheats. The reasons are always complicated. But some common things I see are a fear of getting too close, needing validation from outside the relationship, or even stuff from their childhood, like traumas, that are messing with their adult relationships.
So it's not always that they don't love or care about their partner. Sometimes it's deeper stuff, emotional wounds, that are driving those bad choices.
That's it. And that's why knowing yourself, being self-aware, is so important. The person who cheated, they got to be willing to look inward, figure out why they did it, and deal with those underlying problems so they don't keep making the same mistakes.
And that probably takes a lot of honesty, right? Like, admitting you messed up is one thing, but really digging deep and facing those uncomfortable truths about yourself.
Totally. And therapy can be a big help there. A therapist can create a safe space for that kind of deep exploration, helping people understand their own motivations, their patterns, the things that set them off.
So we've talked about those individual issues and the relationship stuff, but let's get practical. The article mentions those key steps for reconciliation, taking responsibility, rebuilding trust, and forgiveness. What does that actually look like? How do couples actually deal with those things?
Well, taking responsibility. It's more than just saying sorry. It's about understanding how your actions hurt your partner, hurt the relationship. It's owning your choices, not making excuses or blaming anyone else.
So it's showing real remorse, a willingness to make things right, not just trying to get out of trouble.
Exactly. And that leads into rebuilding trust, which is often the hardest part. Trust, you got to earn it back little by little through what you do consistently. It takes honesty, transparency, and being willing to be vulnerable again with each other.
And that vulnerability, I bet it's scary after being hurt so badly. What are some things couples can do to start feeling safe and trusting again?
One thing is setting clear boundaries, expectations, like agreeing on how much contact each person will have with other people, being open about their schedules, where they are. Some couples even share passwords if that feels right for them.
So it's about building a structure that feels safe for both of them, but also allows them to still be their own person.
That's a great way to put it. And as that trust starts coming back, couples can slowly start being intimate again. Could be small stuff at first, like holding hands, cuddling, then gradually more physical intimacy as they both feel ready.
It's like learning to walk again after you break your leg or something. Gotta start slow, those little steps, then build up your strength and confidence over time.
Perfect analogy. And remember, how fast this all happens, it's different for every couple. There's no right timeline. The important thing is to talk openly, respect each other's limits, and be patient.
Speaking of patience, let's talk about forgiveness. The article says it's crucial, but I can imagine it's one of the hardest things to do, especially when the pain is still so fresh.
You're right, it's not easy. Forgiveness is not about saying what happened was okay or forgetting about it. It's about letting go of the anger or the resentment that keeps you stuck in the past. That takes time, effort, and honestly, a lot of people need help from a therapist to get there.
So it's not, it's fine you did this, but more like, I'm choosing to let go of the pain so I can move on.
Exactly. And remember, forgiving someone is your choice. No one can force you to do it, and it's okay to take all the time you need to process how you feel, to reach that point of forgiveness, if that's what you want.
And it's not a one-time thing either, right? Probably something you got to keep working on throughout the whole reconciliation process.
Absolutely. Forgiveness is an ongoing practice. Those old hurts, they'll come up again sometimes, and couples need to be ready to deal with them in a kind, understanding way.
So reconciliation, it's like a marathon, not a sprint. Takes commitment, patience, willingness to do the work, both as individuals and as a couple. But hearing you talk about those successful couples, it's clear that even after infidelity, you can have a good, loving relationship.
You can. And I think it's important to remember that even if you don't end up reconciling, even if the relationship ends, you can still grow and heal so much through this process.
That's a really powerful takeaway. So even when things are super painful, there's a chance for real, deep personal change.
That's what's so interesting about this whole topic. Infidelity, as often as it is, it can be a push for growth, self-discovery, understanding yourself and relationships better.
You know, as we're talking about these success stories, I'm noticing how much emphasis there is on the long game of reconciliation. It's not about quick fixes or sweeping things under the rug, but about a sustained commitment to growth and change.
Absolutely. Reconciliation isn't a destination. It's a journey. It's about showing up every day, ready to do the hard work, even when it's uncomfortable, progress seems slow.
So it's about embracing that journey with all its twists and turns and recognizing that even in the face of adversity, there's a beauty in the process of growth and transformation.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's why I find these stories so inspiring. They remind us that even after infidelity, a fulfilling and loving relationship is possible. But it requires commitment, patience, and a willingness to embrace the messy, imperfect beauty of the human experience.
What a powerful message. It's a reminder that even in the face of heartbreak and betrayal, there's always hope, always a possibility for healing and growth.
Exactly. And that hope extends not only to the couples who choose to reconcile, but also to those who choose to separate. The journey of healing and growth is available to everyone, regardless of the outcome of the relationship.
That's such a comforting and empowering thought. It reminds us that even in the midst of pain and uncertainty, we always have the power to choose our own path, to embrace the lessons learned, and to move forward with greater wisdom and resilience.
You've hit the nail on the head. And that's why I find this topic so endlessly fascinating. It's not just about infidelity. It's about the human capacity for love, forgiveness, and transformation. It's about the resilience of the human heart and its ability to heal and grow, even in the face of profound adversity.
You know, hearing you talk about these success stories, it's clear that while reconciliation might be the goal for many couples, it's not the only measure of success. Sometimes the greatest growth comes from navigating those challenges and emerging on the other side, whether together or individually, with a deeper understanding of yourself and your needs.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it's important to acknowledge that even if a couple chooses to separate, there's still so much valuable learning and growth that can occur through the process. It's about honoring the complexity of human relationships and recognizing that sometimes the most loving choice is to let go.
That's a powerful message. And it brings us to a crucial question. What happens when a couple has done all the work, addressed the individual issues, rebuilt trust, fostered forgiveness, and yet they still can't shake that feeling of unease or uncertainty?
That's a very valid question. And it's important to acknowledge that even after taking all the right steps, some couples might still find it hard to move forward. The wounds of infidelity run deep, and sometimes lingering doubts or insecurities persist, even when considerable healing has occurred.
So how can couples navigate that situation? Is it a sign that reconciliation is simply impossible?
Not at all. It might simply indicate that they need to delve a bit deeper to explore those lingering doubts and fears with greater compassion and curiosity.
So it's about validating those feelings, even if they don't seem logical or rational.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about saying, okay, I'm feeling this way. What can I learn from these feelings? What needs aren't being met? What fears are still holding me back?
It seems like even as reconciliation progresses, that individual self-reflection and exploration are still crucial.
Precisely. And sometimes those lingering doubts might highlight deeper issues that haven't been fully addressed, such as unresolved trauma from past relationships or even childhood experiences.
It's like those individual layers we talked about earlier. Sometimes you have to peel back even more layers to get to the heart of the issue.
That's a perfect analogy. And a skilled therapist can be incredibly helpful in this process. They can help individuals explore those deeper layers, process unresolved traumas, and develop healthy coping mechanisms for managing those difficult emotions.
It sounds like even though reconciliation is a joint effort, individual healing is an integral part of the journey.
Absolutely. And sometimes that individual healing might lead to the realization that reconciliation isn't possible, at least not at this time.
So it's about recognizing that even after infidelity, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. The path to healing might look different for each couple, and sometimes that path might lead to a different destination than initially envisioned.
You're right. It's about honoring the complexity of human relationships and acknowledging that there's no shame in choosing a path that prioritizes individual well-being, even if that means parting ways.
That's a powerful message. And I wonder, what are some practical tips you found helpful for individuals navigating this process, whether they're working towards reconciliation or towards healing and moving on individually?
One of the most valuable tools I've encountered is mindfulness. Practicing mindfulness, whether through meditation, yoga, or simply paying attention to your breath and your body sensations, can help individuals stay grounded in the present moment rather than getting swept away by the storms of their emotions.
So it's about creating a sense of inner peace and stability, even when the world around you feels chaotic and uncertain.
Exactly. Mindfulness can help individuals regulate their emotions, reduce stress and anxiety, and develop a greater sense of self-awareness.
And that self-awareness seems crucial for making healthy choices and setting boundaries, both in the relationship and in life in general.
You're absolutely right. Self-awareness is the foundation for healthy relationships and for personal well-being. It allows us to understand our own needs, motivations, and triggers, which empowers us to make choices that are aligned with our values and goals.
So it's about recognizing that even in the midst of heartbreak and betrayal, we still have the power to choose our own path, to embrace the lessons learned, and to move forward with greater wisdom and resilience.
You've hit the nail on the head. And that's what makes this topic so endlessly fascinating. It's not just about infidelity. It's about the human capacity for love, forgiveness, and transformation. It's about the resilience of the human heart and its ability to heal and grow, even in the face of profound adversity.
I think that's a beautiful and empowering message to leave our listeners with. The idea that even in the darkest of times, there's always a potential for growth and transformation, both individually and within our relationships.
I couldn't agree more. And I hope that our conversation today has provided some insights, some tools, and perhaps even a glimmer of hope for anyone who's navigating the complexities of infidelity and its aftermath.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into reconciliation after infidelity. It's been, well, a pretty intense journey, hasn't it?
It has. Lots to think about.
But I think we've covered a lot of important ground. We talked about those common mistakes couples make, the crucial steps to take, those inspiring stories of couples who actually made it work, and most importantly, the potential for healing and growth, even when things seem really, really tough.
I'm glad we got to explore all that together.
And listener, whether you're dealing with this personally or you know someone who is, I hope this deep dive has given you some new perspectives, some tools to use, and most of all, a sense of hope. Because even after infidelity, there's a path forward. It might not be easy, it might not be what you expected, but it's there. And sometimes the greatest growth comes from going through those challenges and coming out the other side, whether it's together or on your own, but with a better understanding of yourself and what you truly need.
Beautifully said.
So that's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep. You know, as we're talking about these success stories, I'm noticing how much emphasis there is on the long game of reconciliation. It's not about quick fixes or sweeping things under the rug, but about a sustained commitment to growth and change.
Absolutely. Reconciliation isn't a destination, it's a journey. It's about showing up every day, ready to do the hard work, even when it's uncomfortable or progress seems slow.
So it's about embracing that journey with all its twists and turns and recognizing that even in the face of adversity, there's a beauty in the process of growth and transformation.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And that's why I find these stories so inspiring. They remind us that even after infidelity, a fulfilling and loving relationship is possible. But it requires commitment, patience, and a willingness to embrace the messy, imperfect beauty of the human experience.
What a powerful message. It's a reminder that even in the face of heartbreak and betrayal, there's always hope, always a possibility for healing and growth.
Exactly. And that hope extends not only to the couples who choose to reconcile, but also to those who choose to separate. The journey of healing and growth is available to everyone, regardless of the outcome of the relationship.
That's such a comforting and empowering thought. It reminds us that even in the midst of pain and uncertainty, we always have the power to choose our own path, to embrace the lessons learned, and to move forward with greater wisdom and resilience.
You've hit the nail on the head, and that's why I find this topic so endlessly fascinating. It's not just about infidelity. It's about the human capacity for love, forgiveness, and transformation. It's about the resilience of the human heart and its ability to heal and grow, even in the face of profound adversity.
You know, hearing you talk about these success stories, it's clear that while reconciliation might be the goal for many couples, it's not the only measure of success. Sometimes the greatest growth comes from navigating those challenges and emerging on the other side, whether together or individually, with a deeper understanding of yourself and your needs.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I think it's important to acknowledge that even if a couple chooses to separate, there's still so much valuable learning and growth that can occur through the process. It's about honoring the complexity of human relationships and recognizing that sometimes the most loving choice is to let go.
That's a powerful message, and it brings us to a crucial question. What happens when a couple has done all the work, addressed the individual issues, rebuilt trust, fostered forgiveness, and yet they still can't shake that feeling of unease or uncertainty?
That's a very valid question, and it's important to acknowledge that even after taking all the right steps, some couples might still find it hard to move forward. The wounds of infidelity run deep, and sometimes lingering doubts or insecurities persist, even when considerable healing has occurred.
So how can couples navigate that situation? Is it a sign that reconciliation is simply impossible?
Not at all. It might simply indicate that they need to delve a bit deeper, to explore those lingering doubts and fears with greater compassion and curiosity.
So it's about validating those feelings, even if they don't seem logical or rational, right?
Absolutely. It's about saying, okay, I'm feeling this way. What can I learn from these feelings? What needs aren't being met? What fears are still holding me back?
It seems like even as reconciliation progresses, that individual self-reflection and exploration are still crucial.
Precisely. And sometimes those lingering doubts might highlight deeper issues that haven't been fully addressed, such as unresolved trauma from past relationships or even childhood experiences.
It's like those individual layers we talked about earlier. Sometimes you have to peel back even more layers to get to the heart of the issue.
That's a perfect analogy. And a skilled therapist can be incredibly helpful in this process. They can help individuals explore those deeper layers, process unresolved traumas, and develop healthy coping mechanisms for managing those difficult emotions.
It sounds like even though reconciliation is a joint effort, individual healing is an integral part of the journey.
Absolutely. And sometimes that individual healing might lead to the realization that reconciliation isn't possible, at least not at this time.
So it's about recognizing that even after infidelity, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. The path to healing might look different for each couple, and sometimes that path might lead to a different destination than initially envisioned.
You're right. It's about honoring the complexity of human relationships and acknowledging that there's no shame in choosing a path that prioritizes individual well-being, even if that means parting ways.
That's a powerful message. And I wonder, what are some practical tips you found helpful for individuals navigating this process, whether they're working towards reconciliation or towards healing and moving on individually?
One of the most valuable tools I've encountered is mindfulness. Practicing mindfulness, whether through meditation, yoga, or simply paying attention to your breath and your body sensations, can help individuals stay grounded in the present moment, rather than getting swept away by the storms of their emotions.
So it's about creating a sense of inner peace and stability, even when the world around you feels chaotic and uncertain.
Exactly. Mindfulness can help individuals regulate their emotions, reduce stress and anxiety, and develop a greater sense of self-awareness.
And that self-awareness seems crucial for making healthy choices and setting boundaries, both in the relationship and in life in general.
You're absolutely right. Self-awareness is the foundation for healthy relationships and for personal well-being. It allows us to understand our own needs, motivations, and triggers, which empowers us to make choices that are aligned with our values and goals.
So it's about recognizing that even in the midst of heartbreak and betrayal, we still have the power to choose our own path, to embrace the lessons learned, and to move forward with greater wisdom and resilience.
You've hit the nail on the head. And that's what makes this topic so endlessly fascinating. It's not just about infidelity. It's about the human capacity for love, forgiveness, and transformation. It's about the resilience of the human heart and its ability to heal and grow, even in the face of profound adversity.
I think that's a beautiful and empowering message to leave our listeners with. The idea that even in the darkest of times, there's always a potential for growth and transformation, both individually and within our relationships.
I couldn't agree more. And I hope that our conversation today has provided some insights, some tools, and perhaps even a glimmer of hope for anyone who's navigating the complexities of infidelity and its aftermath.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into reconciliation after infidelity. It's been, well, a pretty intense journey, hasn't it?
It has. Lots to think about.
But I think we've covered a lot of important ground. We talked about those common mistakes couples make, the crucial steps to take, those inspiring stories of couples who actually made it work, and most importantly, the potential for healing and growth, even when things seem really, really tough.
I'm glad we got to explore all that together.
And listener, whether you're dealing with this personally or you know someone who is, I hope this deep dive has given you some new perspectives, some tools to use, and most of all, a sense of hope. Because even after infidelity, there is a path forward. It might not be easy, it might not be what you expected, but it's there. And sometimes the greatest growth comes from going through those challenges and coming out the other side, whether it's together or on your own, but with a better understanding of yourself and what you truly need.
Beautifully said.
So that's it for this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.